Back at it.
Yes, sir.
All right, so who you want to go from? You want to do this and shift, or you just want to go? We just go straight into the show.
Go into it.
You're not ready to go to record.
Yep.
Huh?
Yeah, we go into it. Let's do it.
All right, man. Let's get into it, man. Let's. That was a great opening right there to get that conversation going. We're going to be very excited to be a part of that that event, April the 12th, Friday, at St. James Institution in Springfield, Virginia. A lot of good stuff should come out of this, and you know, I like where we're going with that. Let's dive into a very controversial call that we saw yesterday, last night. Let's start off with that, man. That was a big impact. The call heard around the world last night where UConn down 170-69, call a timeout. Geno draws up a play. Could have dropped a better play, by the way. A couple of screens, try to get Paige open, and they call a offensive foul for the screen. That was set. I can't think of the young lady's name.
That was.
So, yep. And pretty much that killed the game. Went to the they fouled, had to foul again, and we saw the result. Our goes to the championship game, which is tomorrow. So let's start us off as a UConn. You're a UConn Husky fan here. Give me your thoughts on how you felt when that call was made, and was that a good call, bad call? Like, you know, be transparent here. What was your thoughts on that when that call was made and your Huskies no longer control their own fate and lost?
Man, I agree with you what you said earlier. Geno could have called up a better play. I felt like he should have put the ball in Paige's hand from the start and just let her run the clock down and go one-on-one and pull up. I think that's what should have happened. Because believe it or not, we have been called for three fouls on screens anyway during the game. So either she was at that particular moment, I don't think she was moving. I think she had a perfect good screen. But we have been already called for like two other times throughout the game. So I felt like, okay, if she went off the screen, good, bam, we in the building, Paige get the ball, she put up and make a big shot. But like you said, when the call was made, I'm looking like, dude, come on, bro. I like, how are you going to make this call at this moment in the game? Which I didn't think it was a foul. I just think old girl just ran right into her, and it's a no call. But, I mean, it is what it is. We had our chances. Edwards really didn't play well. If she'd have came to play, I think we'd have won the game outright if she'd have came to play. She missed a lot of chippy layups, you know, throughout the game. She shot a lot of bad jump shots. She just, to me personally, she just won herself. And at the end of the day, I mean, the call is the call. You can't change it. We just lost the game. I mean, I thought it was a bad call, but at the end of the day, there's other little things that I think we could have done, you know, that could have won the game, and we just didn't do it. You know, the young lady come off the bench that plays behind Elwood. She's taking bad jump shots early in the game in the third quarter. She made some in the fourth quarter. But those are kind of, you know, shots that, you know, give other teams momentum when you missing and they go back down the court and make them, you know. So it is what it is. You know, get ready for next year. Hopefully the young ladies that we had out, we had six players out last night. Hopefully they get back on track and see what we can do next year.
Keon, you're up there. You're looking around. You know you're next. So,
yeah, that was a horrible call. I can see in that situation, if it was an advantage, the girl didn't get knocked down. She still was coming off the screen. It's still contested. They actually had another girl up. I can see if you calling it like that the whole entire game. But at that point, that one play don't win or lose a game, but that damn play did dictate the ending of that game. We didn't even get a chance to even get a shot up, you know, to even see what it's going to go in or not. But I just really think that was a horrible call. That should have just been a no call, play on. Yeah. Like I said, UConn got no advantage off that screen. Ain't like she hit her and she is on her butt. You know what I'm saying? So, and the girl, she sold it a little bit, snapping her head back a little dramatic with it. You know, the ref took the bait. But in that thing, man, it definitely was a great game going to have the game end like that when you got all eyes on college women's sports right now. It's like a sore spot was put on last night. Now, then people talking about a good game, everybody talking about, you know, the call. Then the great basketball that was played last night. So at some time, man, these refs make the thing about them. We ain't come to see you, bro. We actually came to see the women's dictate the outcome on who gonna win or lose. So, you know, it got kind of questionable at the end of the last 5 minutes where Iowa was getting a lot of calls. I think they probably had 16, 17 fouls. UConn probably only had like four calls all game. So it's just a disparity of the free throw line anyway, that to me. So, yeah, definitely horrible, horrible call.
Yeah, I agree with everybody. That's a bad call. Like you said, they just wasn't consistent the whole game. And I think, like you said, when the girl for Iowa kind of flung her head back and kind of sold the call, Edwards kind of had her arms up a little bit high. And, you know, it's a size thing, right? It ain't like she was picking a big girl. She was a nice little small guard. So she sold it. And it's just sad that that play overshadows a good game. You know, both of the teams fought hard, came down to the wire. You know, UConn had another shot when Caitlin missed the free throw, didn't box out. But, yeah, it's just the call just overshadows the epic game that it was last night.
Yeah, I looked at the call a couple of times. I looked at the play. It was an illegal screen. I did look at it a few times, man. After I first seen it, I'm sitting in the MGM. I'm sitting at the sports book area watching it, and you know you're live. You're kind of like, whoa. It was an illegal screen, but I just think like everybody else said, I don't think that was the time to make that type of call, unless you've been consistently making that call throughout the game. If you haven't making that call throughout the game, then probably Iowa should have been called for that too, because it was a few plays where I saw they were moving too. Like when they run Caitlin off that slip screen a lot, or when she's doing the pick and roll, this screen moves the entire time. So it's like, so if you're gonna call it, you got to call it consistently throughout the game, so that people at least know how to manage the situation. And I think that's what everybody's issue is. That's what my issue is that I just feel like it feels like that call wasn't what we saw throughout the entire game or even the Final Four. It seemed like they were letting them play a little bit, and then they came back now and they're like, hey, we're going to take that away and keep that play from developing. And like Key said, I agree with Key 100% on this. I mean, Paige Beckers did not have an advantage. She literally, like, I think she's going to get trapped because the girl was following her. Number 24 was right on her hip, and 45 had already stepped up. So unless she's gonna dump it off on the roll, she didn't get trapped on that play because she really didn't have nowhere to go. So like that's why I said I thought Geno. Here's where I do have a problem with. I thought Geno had them call timeout, and I think he should have. I think he should. Once they had that steal, they had all the momentum. Like that timeout to me did not help. Like it was just like you had all the momentum, and you had the ball in your best player's hands. Like at that point, I'm not calling nothing. I'm looking at Paige and go. Yeah. Like, I mean, like that's why I feel like that's where the game was lost in his decision to call timeout. Like, I get it. That's just too much control. You got the balls in your best player's hands. At this point, I was scrambling. It's 9 seconds left. Yeah. You tell her, you go for it. Like, I mean, like you go down there, you hold that ball, and you go attack at 5 seconds left. If not, or six, so you can at least, if you got a foul, you don't get the shot, you don't score, you get the foul, but you have the foul. But, man, that's the part I saw for me was that. Like, just not having enough wherewithal to understand, like, she shouldn't have went that early. Like, oh, she called timeout. Like, you just controlling the game too much. Man, just let her go down there and take that shot and see what happens, because that's your best player. Like, you've been riding her the entire tournament. You know what I mean? So she may not have the best game this game, but that's when you got to say, hey, man, we going with our girl. She's who got us here. I ain't taking the ball out of her hands. I think that just slowed the pace down. It slowed them down. I think if he really thought about it twice, he would never call timeout. He would have went for it. He would have went in and said, man, just go. He looked dead at her and said, go for it.
And you know what's crazy? And you 100% correct, because I do think after like watching like the runs that we've had and all the players who have came through there, if it was Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, Swin, all these other girls that we've had, Tina Charles, all the big time scorers we've had to come through there, he would have let him go with it. He wouldn't have said nothing. And so therefore, I do agree with you in saying we already got the momentum. Live and die with Paige. Live and die with Paige. Like, at the end of the day, I would have felt better if Paige would have came down. And even if she would, let's say she doesn't make the shot. But guess what? You gave your best player a chance to win the game. If she missed it, so what? It is what it is. But like you said, I think you're right, James. He took the ball out of her hands and took away the momentum, and he made them think about the play as to running the play. And I think that's what killed it.
And you know, like, I mean, listen, Gino's a Hall of Famer. He knows more basketball than I even thought of.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that was the point where he put too much control. He put too much aspect on the game and not on just allowing the game come to him. I mean, they had nothing to lose. The third seed. I mean, they've had all these injuries all season. Like, that's the point where I just been like, you throw it all away and just be like, let her go for it. Mm-hmm. And if it works, it works. Because I don't think Owls had a plan for what they're going to do. It was no – I think they knew in their mind after they came out that halftime, they were going to trap her. Like, they're mm-hmm. like, when she gets the ball, we're going to trap her and get the ball out of her hands. But I think coming back, like, if they just would have ran it and would have been more of a 1-4, I don't think they had any idea what they're going to do. I mean, I think at that point they were confused because, I mean, the pass that the – I think I forgot number 40. I think I forgot her name is number 45 for Hour. The pass was so egregious and bad. Like, she threw the ball. Like, I mean, she literally threw it to the other player. So I'm just thinking – in my mind, I know they're thinking, like, they weren't expecting that. They were expecting they were going to have another time to run some clock. And then she kicked it out. She kicked it right to the UConn girl. Mm-hmm. She throws the ball in bounds. They got it. They got the steal. And they're looking like, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And I would have been like, nope, I'm not calling nothing. I'm going for it. And if you get in trouble, you can still call a timeout.
Yeah.
You can save for the last shot. But at that point, man, you should tell her, go for it. You could have went right. Because at that point, you have everything's open. You're only down one. You can go to the basket. They're not trying to foul you, right? You can mm-hmm. pull up three if you want to. You can do whatever you want at that point. I think he tried to control that game too much at the end. And
it bit us.
It bit him. It bit him, man. It really did. It bit him. Especially coming out of halftime. Because that's the one thing I said, and I think I sent the text. I think the game was too close. I was like, man, it's too close. I said, Kaylee's gonna get it going eventually. And they're going to have to do something after that. Because only up six, when I was playing that bad, they should have been up by like 10, 15.
And that's my point in saying Edwards – had a hard, she missed a lot of chip shots under the basket. And then they start taking like bad jump shots. I'm like, dude, we was going to the basket and y'all taking bad jump shots. I'm like, come on, man. You keep going to the basket. And that's another reason we didn't force the center from our to be in bad situations due to the fact they kept, you know, Edwards stayed on the perimeter. The other young lady who came off the bench, she stayed on the perimeter. So we didn't put pressure on her to have to foul. Because the other young lady, number 45, she wasn't that good. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't giving them nothing. But 23 was killing us on the offensive side of the end. But we didn't put pressure on her to force her to play a lot more defense than what we did because Edwards and the other young lady was on the perimeter too much. It is what it is at this point.
Yeah, it is what it is. All right, man. So let's get to the next topic then. Let's talk about Angel Reese and what's going on with the Angel Reese situation and her comments after the game, after the loss to Iowa. Let's get your thoughts on it. What were your thoughts on what was going on? We'll start with you, Keon. What were your thoughts on what's going on as far as the impact? I think it's probably, I would say more, the impact that it had in social media and the negative response that it may have gotten out and about in social media as well. Go ahead and start that off, Key. So this is your squad.
The comment she made to me ain't really put too much into it. I know social media ran with it. You know, a lot of people had good things to say about it. A lot of people had bad things to say. That's been going on all year whenever she make a comment about something. I think, you know, she knew it was her last game. They came up short. You know, I think she got emotional when Flage was, you know, speaking on her, you know. And like she said, she a human. She just let express how, you know, things she went through the season after winning the championship, being tech every day on social media, sexual, whatever. And like she said, she wouldn't change it though, because all the good stuff that came with it. So she was just speaking from both sides. That's all. Reporter asked her something, and she responded to the question. She, like, Angel is going to speak her mind. She's going to say how she felt, and she just did that. And whatever she say, you know what I'm saying, the impact she had on women game, you're going to have people going to talk negative about her, and you're going to have people talk positive about her. And that's what I took from it. No big deal. Other than she just speaking, she was responding to what the reporter asked her. And she was just going down, you know, how she – what she went through this year, the team went through this year. She talk about a lot, but it's just clip baits. People don't put the whole conversation out. People do stuff for ratings. You know what I'm saying? So if you just look at the clip they put, not the question was asked and everything before she got to that. So we're in a media-driven world right now, bro. And they're going to go after who's going to sell topics. So ain't nothing of it.
Yeah, I thought it was good for her to express her emotions. And it was a hard-fought game, very emotional. She's an emotional player, you know, talk trash. And I love it, man. You know, you don't see often, you know, these type of players at this elite level express themselves like that. You know, it left her, you know, to be attacked or to be loved, right? It just depends on how you looked at the comments. And, you know, she probably knew it's her last game. She won't be in college no more. She knew now it's a business now going to the WNBA. And, you know, I don't have a problem with her comments, man. I just love that, you know, she was being genuine. And, you know, she left herself vulnerable, bro. And a lot of people can't take that, you know, because they know what's coming with that. Some people could dive into it like they did from an attacking standpoint. Some people loved it. But, yeah, you know, shout out to Angel Reese, man. She had a great, amazing college career. And, you know, now the eyes definitely going to be on her because she's going in to the WNBA 2024 class with a lot of other elite players. So people are going to be watching. She definitely moved the college needle the last 2 years. And, you know, shout out to Angel Reese, man.
Man, shout out to Angel Reese. This is the problem with people. People get mad. When people be honest about who they are and what they are and they stand on everything that they say and do, people get upset. Guess what? Deal with it. That young lady should not change for nobody. Speak your mind. That's the problem with the world today. Nobody, people don't speak their mind. They want athletes to be a certain way. Oh, well, you know, don't do this, don't do that. Well, we need you to speak more. We need you to do this more. We need to be who you are. That is the problem. When people if she would have came up there and not been herself, then they say, well, she's not genuine. It's always something. So at the end of the day, athletes today, men and women, say what you got to say and be done with it. Because guess what? People are going to like you and people are going to hate you. No matter what you do, whatever you say, people are going to like you or hate you. So at the end of the day, just be yourself. I don't have no problem with the comment. If you don't like it, so be it. Because guess what? You your own person. You march to your own drum. And that's how you keep it. So Angel Reese, salute to you. Keep doing what you're doing. You did what you had to do as the LSU Tiger. Keep it moving.
Y'all really done with this, man? Like, I feel like I understand some of the aspects of things that she stated, right? I think, you know, getting death threats is horrible, especially for one of you're a college student, you're just playing basketball. You're playing basketball how you know how. I mean, in the area you grew up in, this is very commonplace. Do you know, with the trash talking, just being, you know, very more boisterous. And that's the style that you've been playing all your career. That's what made you great. So I have no problem with that type of aspect of who you are. And that always, to me, makes sense because, I mean, a lot of us are taught that way. And that's cool as a fan. The only thing I know she's talked about a lot of the difficulties of the season. Some of the difficult of the seasons were things that she put on herself. Like some of the things, like, I didn't know, we knew that Angel was suspended. We didn't know why. It was Flo J mama that told everybody about her GPA. We didn't know about that. The world didn't know about that. A lot of things that she was doing, the things that she was involved in, a lot of predicaments that was happening were things that were happening because it was some things that it was self-inflicted wounds from her. Now, if she would have talked about that a little bit more, then I can understand. I would have understood where she was coming from, and even just what she, even the emotional aspect of it. And emotion, you don't always align. You're not gonna get your point across when you're at the most emotional state. It's just how life is. Some people, if you can, express yourself the way you want to when you're fully emotional. You know, it will definitely come off in a different, more light. People have more clarity. But I mean, I listened to the interview, and I mean the question, because it was a question, and she spelled out her answer. And I didn't have an issue with, outside of the fact that I think some of those things that she talked about were self-inflicted things, which I was, the only problem I have with her is sometimes when she speaks on things is she doesn't really talk about that aspect of herself. Like, she doesn't talk about what caused that, maybe something she's done. She never talks from that perspective. She kind of always talks to herself about two different ways. She'll talk about from an aspect of how it affected her, but she never really talks about like how she was the cause of why it affects her. And that's the one thing. Maybe when she gets older and she gets a little older, she's gonna start understanding and she evolves herself in things like why things can happen because of certain frame of mind, a certain energy she puts out there, right? Perspective she puts out there. That's going to take time. That comes with wisdom, right? And I think that's what I want to see from her. She continues to keep growing and getting older. But that's the only thing I have. It was like I listened to a lot of the sports commentators and stuff. They had something to say about it. You know, everybody had different opinions. People told them that she could have stand on it, that the crying at that point was, you know, probably not as justifiable. And I can see one end, I can see the other. I can see when there were times where she was a bully on the court, bro. Like, she wasn't, and a lot of things she did on the court was not playing basketball. So I can understand where some people made some statements. But, you know, she's young. She's going to get older. Hopefully she just continues to mature and develop into the woman she wants to be. Yeah, sure. Right? And that is about as clear point I can give it. I can hope that she continues doing that, because it's a journey. Mm-hmm. We're all still trying to learn and grow as people. So it is a journey, and I know she's going to keep pushing forward. And yeah, man, like, you know, but, you know, we got to give our thoughts on that as well. Let's talk about Caitlin Clark's legacy. Right, if she wins the championship tomorrow, can you start me off? Is she should be considered a GOAT? Maybe not the GOAT, but she should be considered a GOAT if she wins that chip tomorrow, concluding that all her statistical triumphs.
Yeah, that put her in a conversation with some of the greatest players that, you know, have played the game. You know, if she sealed the deal, you know what I'm saying? She got the accolades with the points. But at the end of the day, you know, get in that room and be mentioned with the great, you got to deliver, you know, because, like, the ones, like, who we're comparing her to, they all got rings. And so definitely a stamp of legendary. Oh, she already had a great college career. But the stamp, to win the chip tomorrow, it'll be a legendary career. It'll be the run she had to win the chip, the team she had to go through. So also just putting us, you know, Iowa on the map. Nobody even heard of Iowa basketball women team. You know, to come and put that program on the map, to have them in back-to-back Final Fours, you know, going back to back-to-back championship. So, yeah, she can close the deal. Definitely put her in the conversation with, you know, with the Maya Moores and all the rest of the people. Not saying – she better than them, but I'm not saying she better than them, but it puts you in that room. It puts you in that room with great players. I'm looking at this, great players that had an impact on a game and won a championship. She will be mentioned in those conversations. You know, the impact she had on college, on women basketball the last 2 years, you got to give it to her. You know what I'm saying? She been box office as a college player, so – to get a chip tomorrow, that means you'll have to come back. You got your revenge on LSU. You beat UConn. You beat you'll have to beat South Carolina, who ain't lost a game all year. Nobody have beaten South Carolina. And you be the one that cracked that code. Hey, that's a legendary senior career. Let me say, stamp on going out your career. Like I said, those three teams and nobody have gave South Carolina an L all year. And for you to do it 2 years in a row and find a way to do it, you gave them their first L last year, right? Last year they was undefeated, South Carolina. Yeah, they was under, and to come back this year and get them another L in the championship.
The only L.
That's what I'm saying. So back to back, oh yeah, you'll have to give it to her.
You want me to go?
Mine gonna be real quick.
I don't care, man. Y'all go ahead, man. Nah, bro.
She's made an amazing 2 year run, and even if she gets a title, I don't think she's nowhere in the GOAT conversation, because we've had legendary players that had a 4 year career, multiple championships. It just,
I say you put it in that room. I ain't say she. You mentioned
she might even be. She might not even get to touch the knob. She has had a run, and I think because you talk about the Maya Moores, the Shamika Holdsclaw, them UConn had a number of Stewart. There have been a lot of legendary players that have got multiple chips, and I just think being in Iowa, a white female, she's put the Iowa on the map. Social media drives a lot, and she's definitely benefited from it, and nothing to take away from her scoring greatness. She will go down as one of the all-time greatest scorers, men and women. Like, she's box office. But for me, even with the GOAT status, I think she would have had to at least win two. Like, the first 2 years, nobody even heard of Caitlin Clark. It's just she went scoring crazy the last 2 years. But the GOAT, in the conversation, I'm on the fence on that one.
And the reason, but to make my point, like, you're talking about all these Maya Moores and all this. Look at the talent they was playing with to win multiple championships.
Oh, ho, ho.
Look at her
ho.
Team.
No,
we ain't about to do that. Tennessee was running shit.
I get it.
UConn. She went to Iowa, my nigga, where they nobody even thinking about basketball. That would make her, that one ring she got, that equal like two.
Hold on, bro.
You have to equal that to like two rings.
Hold on.
My boy, name her teammate.
I'm about to tell you right now, some Key. Hold on, Key.
I don't know about Candace. You probably can't name too many Candace.
No, that Tennessee team.
Not Candace Parkinum.
Not Candace Parkinum team.
I'm talking about those UConn teams.
Hold on, Key. You're wrong. This is where you're wrong at. The Diana Taurasi's team. When they won her freshman year, she had a whole bunch of freshmen her sophomore year, and she won two back-to-back. She was in the same situation.
Bruh, she had more talent than Caitlin.
No, she did not.
Iowa, bro.
I know the team. Diana Taurasi's team, when she was a sophomore, had a whole bunch of freshmen.
I bet she had about like two, three people
straight.
Went to the lead.
I don't care
team.
About that, Keith.
It is about Keith. That. She had a whole bunch of WNBA talent.
Hold on.
Ain't none of them she girls from Iowa going to the league.
It ain't too many chicks on that,
no,
on that
none
team.
None of them girls going to the league.
Bro,
none of them girls
that ain't,
on
that ain't my
going
problem.
To the WNBA.
That's not my problem.
No, because my problem is my point. Those girls was playing with better talent. They should have more rings.
Hold on. Caitlin Clark is not in that conversation with them girls, bro. She's not even on the doorknob. Second of all, like Ray said, if Paige don't get hurt, we're not even talking about Caitlin Clark.
We don't know that. They were there at the same time.
That plays a part in sports. Key.
That's part of the sports.
Okay, so this thing. Paige was freshman All-American.
Okay, but that's part of Caitlin sports,
wasn't
bro.
That. Hold on. Caitlin wasn't that. And on top of that, if Caitlin don't beat South Carolina next year, we're not sitting up here talking about Caitlin. You know who Caitlin is? And I told Ray this earlier. She's a Jimmer Fredette. That's what she is. When Jimmer Fredette was in college, he was shooting from the logo, making all them threes, and everybody got happy by what BYU or whatever school he was going to. Everybody, man, when he gets to the league, he's going to do this.
We ain't talking about the league, Donald. We're talking about college.
Don't get me wrong. Caitlin is a great shooter. She's going to go down as one of the greatest shooters, men and women. But she's not in that class with them girls, bro. She's not. You saw last night, The girl held her on rocks for 6 points in the first half.
Yeah, but she ended up with she ended up with
21 points, all taking right. 20 shots. Hold on. She took 20 shots to get 21 points.
Hey, she won, bro.
Bro, she took 20 shots to get 21 yeah, hey, points.
But that's my thing is, she still was impacting the game, even though she had
a bad if we don't, if we, if Geno coaches better, and we don't even with even with
bro,
hold on,
bro,
even,
hold on. Okay, so bro, even with if, even if, with if we ain't gonna talk about if
I'm about
if,
to give if, you the fact if fifth, Kim Mulkey, drunk, hold on, if Kim Mulkey was a better coach,
okay, if Kim Mulkey was a better coach, we ain't talking about Kalen Clark.
I'm about to give you the fact. If Kim Mulkey was a better coach, like you try to talk trash about Don, if Kim Mulkey was a better coach, she would have played it the same way Geno played it last night, and you probably would have won.
Okay, probably would, but we're talking about probably.
She's not in that conversation as a GOAT. I don't care if she win tomorrow. I don't care if she win tomorrow. She's not in the class of Donna Taurasi, Sue Bird, Maya Moore, Tamika Holdclaw, Candace Parker, old girl who went and played at Texas.
But look at
Tech.
The team.
She's not
they,
in that
look
class.
Look at the talent they had around them. They should
Texas
have multiple.
Texas have a lot. Texas Tech can have a lot of talent. Oh. And old girl won the championship. Cheryl Swoops won the championship.
Man, well,
she didn't have a lot of talent. She didn't have a lot of talent.
I bet
they
roster was better than Iowa. I bet they
no. You said talent. Cheryl Swoops did not have a lot of talent. Like and then she won. She took that
man,
team and won.
With five white girls, bro.
Okay, guess five what? White they got girls. Scholarships, got right?
One black.
Hold on.
Hold on. Mixed breed.
Keith,
if,
do
if,
got
I would, if I would had a athletic, if they had another athletic girl on that team, I know, and I'm an LSU fan, if they had a couple athletic sister on that team, boy.
Keith, are they on scholarship, Keith? Are they on scholarship?
Huh?
Are they on scholarship?
Yeah, bro. That's, they
right,
are,
that's
but
my
they
point.
Ain't had,
guess
I'm
what?
Telling
I don't
you,
hear no more.
She ain't had the
well,
team like
the,
Tennessee.
What you say? Hold on. What you say all the time?
When you
the coach needed where the coach need to go. The coach
problem.
Need to go. Hold on. The coach needs to go and recruit more players then. I don't want to hear that's an excuse.
Okay, bro. Right.
That's my point.
That's your opinion.
My opinion is she ain't in the conversation with them girls. Period.
All right.
You heard him man say period.
I don't know, man. I mean, if she wins tomorrow, this is probably going to be the. I mean, you got to look at this run, and if she wins tomorrow, it's one of the greatest runs you're ever going to see.
It is.
If she beats a 37-0 team who annihilated NC State in the second half in that third quarter. You have to give it to her. You had to give it to her. She has to be considered a GOAT. I don't think you say that she's the GOAT.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. You put her in that room.
She's not the GOAT.
Yes.
But you also got to look at, I mean, the truth is, man, a lot of the players you name had superstar talent.
Exactly.
Top tier talent with them.
Yeah.
Like, high school talk, like they literally, the runs that UConn and Tennessee had was because of the talent they had. Yes. They really pretty much monopolized all the talent. All the talent was on their roster. And they played together, and they won championships off
her
of
it. Her coach need to coach get some more people then. She need to recruit back.
Okay, we ain't talking about that. We just talking about
– then in the GOAT conversation. Then in the GOAT conversation.
You moving
in. I mean, listen, you can't say she – I mean, even – if you think about this, like for instance, like last night, I think UConn still – even though they had injuries, UConn still probably had, like, what, three All-Americans still out there playing?
Yeah, one of the girls going first round.
Like, you know,
which one?
The one you said had a bad game. She going first
who,
round.
Who, Elwood?
Yeah.
Man, Elwood's not going first round.
What's that girl going first round?
All I'm saying is, wasn't she All-American, though?
Yeah, she first team All-American.
She first team All-American.
She ain't going
drafted in the top 10.
She might be first team. She might be first team Big East All-American.
But
she's not.
But wasn't she an All-American?
Paige ain't leaving.
But that's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about this year. She was first team All-American.
Listen to what I'm saying. Wasn't she an All-American come out of high school?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, listen, Kaylin don't have an All-American on her team.
None.
That ain't my problem.
But she beat
that ain't my problem.
That's a, what you making that argument. That's why it would be special.
She beat
man,
you without an All-American.
She not in that conversation, bro. That's just my opinion.
No, literally, what you're seeing with her is the same thing we have with Cheryl Swoops. Cheryl Swoops only won one championship, but you look at Cheryl Swoops, she's a three-time All-American, the same thing as Kaylin. She averaged 20-some points, almost 30-some points a game. I mean, her credentials is about as similar as Cheryl Swoops. And we talk about Cheryl as one as a great, as a GOAT. So how can she not be a GOAT? If you look at line by line, you look at their stats. Now, of course, Cheryl played in a different era. So the three-point shot wasn't as utilized and Shrub probably had, but Shrub literally, her team didn't have any All-Americans either. Kaylin and I have any All-Americans either. Like, their stats are similar. The difference is the championship. So let's say she was a championship, and then we look at Shrub like where she was. Now, she had WNBA success. That's also going to be a part of the conversation later. But right now, coming out of college, you can't say she can't be considered. Like, she's put up in this career for herself at this university, man, she's put up astronomical numbers. She's taken her team to the Final Four, to the final game 2 years in a row with no All-Americans. With no All-Americans. You can't take away from it. I get it, man. But you can't, bro.
That's my point, JD. This girl got no WNBA talent on this team. None of them girls. After they done playing with Iowa, they done. They're going to be coaches. And you go up and beat this South Carolina team that's deep and probably got five other starters on the bench and go start on Iowa right now. You take five of them bench players from South Carolina and they'll be starters on Iowa. And she go beat them tomorrow? Stop it, bro. And I ain't even okay. Stop it.
You better go recruit better.
Stop it.
He be hating on Kaylin.
I ain't hating on no one. I get props when they do. But if she go beat South Carolina tomorrow, you can take five off the bench right now. What's her name? For Wiley. She'll go start tomorrow in Iowa.
He's absolutely right, bro. Like,
first L,
they got four players that would start on Iowa right now. Like, literally, they bench come off and go play there. Like, bro, I can't even let you rock with that. If she beats them, bro, she should be.
Well, I don't think they're gonna lose tomorrow.
Well, let's talk about it, man. Let's talk a little bit about Dawn Staley and her legacy. She's won two championships. She's been to the Final Four 4 years in a row. Right now, I think she has a record of 108-3 in the last 3 years. And she's been having a hell of a run right now. We've probably seen that next great run that we've seen throughout colleges, women's basketball. So let's start off, Donathan. Like, let's talk about Don. If she wins this championship this year with an undefeated team, five brand new starters, like nobody on that team started last year, what would this do for her legacy? Would this see me and her as that on that route, Mount Rushmore of GOAT coaches?
I think it would put her in that situation. I think it would put her in that conversation strongly because, like you said, she done won 100 and some games, only three losses. She done had multiple changing pieces. And I think she really do need this game. Like, she really do. I mean, despite what she's already done, taking a program like South Carolina and turning it around and bringing top talent, you know, to come there and recruit there and to do what she's done there as a whole, it would seem in a lot for them as a basketball school and for herself in general. And I think she would be a part of that conversation with Pat Summitt, the lady out in Stanford, Gino, you know, that having three championships, Kim Mulkey, you know, she's right there with them, you know, like Kim Mulkey has four. So, I mean, you know, you're going to, in that situation, you at least got to get four. You at least got to get four. Three will put you in the conversation strongly, but you at least got to get four because Mulkey has four. You know, everybody else, you know, is on the bandwagon outside of Summitt, Gino, and I think the lady out in Stanford. So, you know, she would be in the conversation. Kim Mulkey is where the bar is right now, four championships. And I think this would propel her in that direction. But she really do need this game tomorrow from a coaching standpoint due to the fact that they lost last year. And you can't lose to the same person back-to-back. Like, that's a dark cloud hanging over you as a coach. So I think she really do need the game tomorrow. But I do think if she can get this W tomorrow and their team come out and play like they're supposed to, it really would elevate her into that conversation.
Yeah, I would put her, if she gets this chip tomorrow, top four. That puts her on the Rushmore. even though that'll give her, the same amount of chips as Tyra Vanderver. But Tyra been there at Stanford about 50 years almost, seemed like. You know, and the amount of span and what she's done at South Carolina is amazing. It's kind of how when Gino got to UConn, put them on the map and just took it to the next level. Same way with Pat Summitt in Tennessee. And even with Kim Mulkey, how she put Baylor on the map. So it would put her on around Mount Rushmore if she wins that. I would put her over Tyra Vandiver, even though they got the same amount of chips, just because of the number of years Tyra's been at Stanford and the short amount of time Dawn has turned that Gamecocks women's program around.
Yeah, it's just like the Kalen thing. I mean, this definitely put her in the room with those coaches if she win this one. You know, they get her 3 rings, undefeated season. Like JD said, basically, you know, coming back, the recruiting thing she'd have done. Like, I saw something where she only lost, like, 3 games in the last, 3 years? Some crazy stuff. And she just got to finish it off with a chip. She finished it off with a chip. Definitely put her in the room with those other coaches. Because, like I said, I just look at how people, the impact she had on that program. When you go somewhere and you turn a program around and you're winning, and to be consistent every year, like you're in a conversation. Her teams are in a conversation every year where they got a chance to win a championship. So if she wins undefeated season, you know, I saw her talking, it will make up for them the last year that what's the old girl in them when they went undefeated?
Bird.
Huh?
I think Aaliyah.
Yeah, she's even saying if they win, they're going to get that team a ring. But if I'm Aaliyah, I don't want it. Yeah, I'm like, nah, thank you. Thank you for the test. But we ain't earned that. So, yeah. But yeah, if they win, she definitely in that. They put her in the room with the, you know, like Ray said, with the Kim Mokies and the Genos and, you know, because now, you know what I'm saying, that'll be 3 rings.
Yeah, I agree with everybody. I think that just it cements her. In this modern day, in part of sports in general, and the NIL is very more difficult to be a success story and be able to recruit these kids. So it's going to be different, of course, as she keep moving forward. And then more eyes on women's basketball. It's going to become more difficult because a lot of these ladies now, you know, they generate, you know, they have their own I won't say generate their own interest. They have their own support, not support, but they have their own. They can generate their own audience. They can. Mm-hmm. They have their own names. It's not about just the coaches. It used to be about the coach, right? Now it can be about the players, right? And now the players tend to, now these college players, they have more power now, right? Like, you know, it's always about the coaching matchups. Now it's about Caitlin versus Angel or Caitlin versus South Carolina. The way they market now is different. NILs have changed things. So if she can get this chip and continue to keep winning, for sure, she's definitely in the room, and she's definitely consuming herself as one of those top goats. So let's talk about the game.
And another thing, too, is now we kind of touched on it. All the talent just ain't going to UConn or going to Tennessee. Yeah. You got names all over. The talent is spread out. So it make it more difficult to get to you know, I ain't got to go through one team. You got to go through a couple of teams now because the talent is spread out. They ain't no more UConn got 10 players.
Y'all know the American.
Yeah, yes. And they just running through everybody, beating them 120. them days gone. Because now with NIL, kids can go anywhere. And so that would make it even harder now to win a championship.
And then, too, like, it's a pressure from some of these coaches to these superstar freshmen. Do you play them day one?
Some of them are ready.
Like Fullen Wiley. Like, she's a prime example, the number one player coming out of South Carolina. I'm sure she could have went anywhere and got the ball and scored 25 a game.
Iowa, she'll be right now, you know, getting 25.
Like, and Dawn got her coming off the bench, and they got sometimes where she barely plays 15 minutes. You know, so it's definitely a challenge with, you know, these coaches nowadays with these stars coming out. And like I say, they can go anywhere now.
And you can transfer. They don't like how you coach them a whole. I'm just going to get in the portal.
Yeah. That's another aspect of it.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's changed. The game has changed. So being able to, you know, to be able to develop the talent that she has, develop the players that she has, and being able to produce the talent she continues to do is she's definitely a one of a kind. And she's always fly on the sideline, man. Where she wearing the latest.
They had the Louis last night.
She had the Louis on.
Gucci get her.
I don't know who her stylist is. Cut the check.
If I'm done, I ain't wearing no more Gucci till y'all cut the check.
Oh, then she probably getting the check. She probably getting the check from.
She wear nothing but Gucci and Louis all day. So she's definitely always staying fresh to death. She stayed clean. Yeah. And she put on for the, I mean, I know she, the black community love her. Yeah. She put on for that as well. And, Only thing though, man, she like she got Kenny Smith knees. You ever seen that?
She old, boy.
Yeah, she got some bad
knees. Was a ball though at
Virginia. Oh, she was at Virginia. Yeah.
Oh, she was a baller. Oh, yeah, she was cold.
Yeah,
she was cold. She was a baller. She did the national championship game.
That's what I'm saying. I ain't see her. I was too young, but I heard she was a baller.
Yeah, she was nice.
What did you mean you were too young? You were
her yes.
You wasn't. You weren't no too young.
Well, we wasn't watching.
We wasn't watching women like
we
that.
We wasn't watching women.
But you don't say you ain't too. You too young.
What year she was in college?
Like the 90s.
90s? Late 90s?
Cheryl, yeah, the 90s.
Cheryl what? Swoops. So they was in the Olympics in 96. Right, so,
oh, I wasn't too young.
Early 90s.
Yeah, we just wasn't watching college basketball.
She lost to Tennessee.
Yeah, we wasn't watching. But she got a ring, though, right?
Nah, she lost in college.
Okay.
She lost in college.
Okay, but I heard she ain't had a lot of talent either, though, on the teams. Like,
yeah, she was like 2-3-time player of the year.
Yeah.
Their team was all right, though. The team that she was on, they weren't bad. It's just that she was a dog and everybody didn't.
Well, that's my fault. Women's games and canes. Big ups to women basketball.
Shout out to them, bro.
All right, so let's talk about the match of tomorrow on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think the game starts at 6, maybe
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Okay, cool. Thank you for clearing that up for me. All right, man. So give me your thoughts real quick, Donathan. Give me your thoughts on this matchup between Iowa and South Carolina.
Press Caitlin Clark like Geno did last night. Take advantage. Like Watkins and all them girls take advantage of rebounding the ball, getting second chance shots, and running them girls off the 3-point line. I think they win the game. I think Cardoza is big. I think she has to be big like she was yesterday, and see if she can get the young lady in Iowa from foul trouble. And if that's the case, I think they can take it away. But the key thing is South Carolina cannot fall asleep, get a big lead, and fall asleep at the wheel and let these girls get back in the game. So if they up by 20, push it to 30. If they up by 30, push it to 40. So what? Play me next year. On the women's side for Iowa, they got to get all-around scoring from everybody. Because I just don't think, not this time, Caitlin's going to be enough. They got to get two or three more people who at least get double digits, maybe even four, to win this game. Because after losing last year, I'm pretty sure Donovan told these girls, look here, not two in a row. And if we get up by 20, we're going to push it to 30. They got to play us next year. We're going to really put the pressure on them. So South Carolina just got to stay focused. They get a lead, do what they got to do, and not fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, it'd be too much on the inside presence for South Carolina. They just need to press Caitlin Clark, throw multiple bodies at her. If you come out the pick and roll, you change it up sometimes. Sometimes you trap her. Sometimes, you know, you just switch the big and the big get back. But I just think it'd be too much, the inside presence of South Carolina. Gonna be too much for them. They're gonna get them in foul trouble.
I just gotta see how this game gonna be rough. They're gonna let them play. It's gonna be tap falls because foul trouble can play a big part in it. Is how they gonna rough the game. I'm gonna see that the first 4 or 5 minutes of this game. You're gonna see how the rough calling. And the players gonna have to adapt to how they call in the game. So my keys from South Carolina, they're going to have to establish Cardoza. She's going to have to go to work. You know what I mean? And South Carolina can't go in those scoring droughts sometime they go in. They're going to have to be able to, because I'm quite sure they're going to run a zone. And they're going to probably force them. If they can hit shots out that zone, attack the zone, they're going to definitely have to out-rebound them. And for Iowa to win, they got to make threes. Everybody got to make threes. They got to be able to make old girl come out the paint, make her guard, because, you know, whoever they got on her is being able to shoot the three. But I just think when it comes down to it, I think South Carolina depth should wear them down and win this game. So, but if they can't be close. It can't be no 3-4-point game with 4 minutes left. You don't want to be in that situation because the refs going to find a way, bro.
They're going to find a way.
They're going to have to be up by – this game going to have to be over by 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Yeah. If it's not, that's when you put it in the ref's hands.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you want it in the ref's hands up if you're South Carolina. But, I mean – I think this is probably going to be Caitlin's worst game, in my honest opinion. I think this South Carolina showed a lot, you know. I mean, excuse me, South Carolina, but UConn showed a very good strategy.
No, when you go back, who guarded her the best to me was West Virginia.
Made it rough.
Yeah, they did all right, but they still
they was pressing her full court.
They pressed the full court, but that's the thing. South Carolina has the players to do that, and I think this is going to be the opportunity for, you know, really if you're done, then really exemplify that. Hey, listen, we got the talent, we got the players. You're gonna have to commit to it the entire game. Utilize Watkins, utilize Fully Riley, utilize some of that young talent, and allow them to go at her, and stay on her the entire game. And force the other four. You know, if the other four beat you, cool, right? But also, and I think both, all you guys have stated this, and this is so true, they go into these lapses scoring-wise, wow, where, you know, they're not hitting shots. It seems like it affects their defense, and their defense is not as strong, and they're just constantly, you know, in a battle. And so this is the type of game they need to put it all together. You know, Dawn's got to do a better job with her lineups. I scream about it all the time. I think sometimes her lineups are just – I don't understand them. I think when she goes with the, I think, number 20, I think that's her name, and Watson, that's not your strength as far as inside. Watson definitely is not a post player, so I'm not sure where you can go with the ball once you take Cardoza out and rest her. So it's like now you got to really figure out, like, what's your strength of these lineups? And I think sometimes when they rest Raven – and they put the ball in Pow-Pow's hands, it takes me from Pow being aggressive offensively. She can't shoot the rock. She can't come off screens. And that sometimes makes them struggle too. She's going to have to put it together this game. Like, not have where she has these spurts like they had last night where they played really, really poor at some points, and then they played really, really good in the third quarter, and they blew them out. She needs to be clicking as a coach and press the right buttons and make sure that everybody's dialed in and put those girls to work and let them understand what's the strength going to be, how to beat this team, right? But I think she does that. If she does what she's supposed to do, I don't see this being much of a game, to be honest with you. If she does what – if they're clicking, I don't see this being much of a game. I just don't – I don't think they just – I just don't have enough. They don't. Like, literally every position, especially from a defensive standpoint, South Carolina is better at. Right, every position. It's just if only thing Iowa has a chance, if South Carolina just not playing, they're just off. They're just either too confident or too lackadaisical. If they're not, this should not be a game. This should be a 15-20 point cruise control because they're just that much better. Yeah. That's how much it is. They're just, I look at every position. Offensively, Caitlin has an advantage. But then once you pass her, defensively she don't. Everybody, they can attack her.
Yeah, and you gotta make Caitlin, she's gonna play the whole game. So you gotta attack her on the defense. You gotta make her play defense too. You can't just let her rest.
I have an issue with these coaches that don't attack her. Whoever she's guarding, go to the basket. But force her to have to guard. Because guess what?
They're running that 1-3-1 zone.
But that's what I like about her coach. They put her in a zone. They don't put her.
Yeah, but tomorrow she's not gonna be able to do that.
They don't do it.
They're gonna get killed.
I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you what.
They've been getting on. Hold on. The boards against LSU.
But this is why I think she's gonna have to come out of
tonight about UConn.
Hold on. This is why she
does shots, though.
You only got one person to speak at a time.
They don't care about losing the board. They gonna stay in the zone. What you gotta do? You gotta finish around the rim with them. That's the thing. LSU, I'll rebound them double digits, but they miss chipping around the rim. Same thing. UConn, you getting boards, but you ain't finishing them because they not going to play man defense. They just don't have the personnel to do it, to stay in front of, especially South Carolina guards are quick. So, like Jay said, if South Carolina clicking, making shots, this game shouldn't be close. But if they're not, they can't make shots out that zone, they're going to be in it because that's how they say Caitlin. They not putting her on the island saying, go guard. No, they playing a zone.
I think this. If they play a zone, I think they still get dusted, and this is why. If Cardoza fouled out that other girl, they in trouble. They are in major trouble.
She the piece for me. She got to dominate.
And South Carolina, when they rebound, they got to push it down the floor. If they can get easy buckets off the rebound and cherry pick, whatever you want to do, but if they can get the rebound and push the tempo on them, like James said, and not have these little scoring droughts, they're going to be in trouble. And that's the key. And I think Dawn learned her lesson last year, to where they were packing the paint, and them girls, you got to the basket to shoot the mid range.
Well, South Carolina, they got kids who can do that. They got better shooters. Last year, they ain't had shooters.
Yeah, it was Raven Johnson wide open. Yeah, she talked about it.
This year, they got shooters that can make
you
pay.
They ain't doing that this year.
Yeah, they got – last year, they were like, I don't even care. Like, she was waving girls off, like, get out of here. Shoot it.
You got Tessa. You got Raven, a shooter. You got Pow Pow.
Yeah.
Bree Hall, whenever she decided to show up, her ass, like, golly, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the different. That's the big difference from this South Carolina team than last year. Nobody respect them to make – jumpers. We were like, we're gonna live and die camp in the paint.
They ain't gonna do that this year.
And that's the thing that I'm saying. So if South Carolina hitting their threes, it's over. It ain't nothing, because you got to give up something. And they gonna camp the paint on Condoza. They gonna make her throw it out to those shooters. Because they got to live with something. And that's
but I think.
And what Condoza and them gotta do too. Ours is tricky. They run. When they get rebounds,
they checking out.
They checking out and going. A lot of those, they kicking it out. So she's going to have to be on her P's and Q's too. I need to get back and start running down the floor.
Well, I put that on the guards, right? The guards can't be sleeping at the top of the key. Like, they got to get back. Like, there's no watching, you know, lollygagging. You got to get back, because I want to speed the pace up and get going to get the easy baskets.
Yeah, because they're going to try to score
Quick.
They don't want to go into a half set where shot blocking there and there.
Yeah, defense, they locking up.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have nothing to add, man. I think that they're going to have to figure it out. So let's give our picks on this one. Who you got? Dante, start us off.
South Carolina.
Okay.
88-80.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going South Carolina.
South Carolina by 10.
Yeah, I did the same thing, man. South Carolina, they pull away around that mid-third quarter, maybe even second quarter, because I feel like they're just going to get a lead then, and then they can just now play inside out. So I got South Carolina going there. So let's talk a little bit about the men's game. We got two games coming up tonight, Bama versus UConn, Purdue versus North Carolina State. Let's start off Bama-UConn. Quick thoughts on the matchup. Donovan, start us off.
I think this is going to be a great game. I think with the ability that Alabama have to shoot the three, we're going to have to be smart. UConn will have to be smart and running them off the three-point line, playing good defense. I think it's going to be a classic game. I think this is the perfect game for us, you know, because we've really, like, put it on people all year in the back half of the season, including the tournament. But I just think, coaching overall, Danny Hurley is going to get us over the hump, and we get the dub.
Okay.
Keith? Yeah, too much inside presence for UConn. I think that's just going to just be too much for Alabama. Alabama keep it close, but I think UConn pulls away within the last 7 minutes. So I got UConn winning.
Yeah, I got UConn winning, man. They got 24, 25-year-old kids out there. Just grown kids.
No, we know.
That program.
What are you talking about, man?
It's make a difference, bro.
Man, what you talking about,
make a difference, bro. Your average on your team, 24 years old. You playing against a little 18, 19-year-old.
So it's what it is.
You know what I mean? So I think Alabama going to battle. I think it's going to be a good game for a while, but I think down the stretch, you kind of make enough plays to win, bro. I'm saying, get them 25-year-old kids off your team.
Man, you know I got the tie, and you know what I mean. We gonna stop the world today. I don't care nothing but the tie, baby. Nothing but the tie. That's what we gonna do. We gonna beat UConn. 9 o'clock, I think this game is. Yep. I think 8 or 9.
Nah.
We gonna beat UConn. We gonna spread them out. Mark Sears, he's from the crib.
He need a big game.
Big game tonight.
He probably tonight need by 30.
He need 30 with Nelson, need 22.
Yeah, he need about
Nelson
30.
And him about 50. They need to have 50, 60 points between the both of them. And then you get a you get a mixture of three or four players, then give you about 20, 25. We need a high-scoring game. We definitely need to keep it in the 80s. Yeah. We definitely need to have it in the 80s. We cannot have it in a low-scoring game. We're going to lose. but, listen, shock the world. Let's do it tonight, baby. Bama, let's go. All right, so next up, NC State. Purdue, Donathan, matchup. Give us your thoughts on the matchup and who you got.
Oh, man. This. I think this is going to be the most intriguing game of the night. You got Burns. You got Edie. You know what I'm saying? Edie had a big game last weekend. He feels like, you know, people overlooked him. A lot of coaches overlooked him. And he feel like, you know, that he has that fire under him. Burns, you know, went to Winthrop, went to another school, got to North Carolina State. You know what I'm saying? And he has been the big fella, you know, the big fella who come in, good feet, can make baskets, can play inside, outside, great distributor of the basketball. I got North Carolina State with the upset because of the guards. I think the guards of North Carolina State is better than the guards from Purdue. And if they can get out there and run them off the three-point line and North Carolina State can make a couple of baskets from the outside – I got North Carolina State. I just think that Burns is going to do just enough to keep Edie occupied. Edie's going to probably get 30 because of his size, and he can shoot and, you know, shoot over Burns, and Burns don't get in foul trouble. You know, he plays smart and do what he's been doing. But I do think the guards of North Carolina State lock down the guards from Purdue, and they get the dub.
Too much Edie, too much Purdue. Cinderella story over. I got Purdue winning by 12.
The key to this game is going to come between can they get Eden in foul trouble. If they can't get him in foul trouble, and can Big Boy finish over the top?
Burns.
Can Burns finish over top of Lent? Because you ain't a baby, like, just use your body and push Eden back on his heels where you can create space. Because Eden got a wide body, too. And that guard's going to have to play. And can he stay out of foul trouble, too? Because, you know, he got in early foul trouble against Duke, which hurt them earlier. He can't get in foul trouble either trying to guard Eden. Yeah. And what defense they going to play? Are you going to trap Eden? Or are you going to try to play him one-on-one with Big Boy? But, man, I got Purdue pulling this. I love to see NC State win it all, actually. But I'm going to go with Purdue pulling this one out in a close one.
Oh, yeah. I think Ray said something. But, yeah, I agree, man. I think the same thing. I'm with Keon on this one. I think it's going to be very difficult shooting over that wing. Now, I will say this. Burns has shown the ability to hit the mid-range jumper. He don't shoot a lot, but he has shown that ability to hit that mid-range. But it really is going to be the guards, man. Like, hand those guards for NC State, put up another stellar performance defensively. Yeah. Because Purdue's going to score. Purdue's going to score points. So, can they defend them? Can they defend them? Because Tennessee played a different game than NC State is going to be able to play this year. And Tennessee had a good perimeter game from their star player. But NC State, I think what's the other guy named DJ. They're both are DJs.
Mm-hmm.
That DJ is going to have a game like the guy from Tennessee had. He had like a good 20, 30-point strong game, because if they don't, they're not going to win this game. So if I got to pick them, toss up Purdue, I'm going to go with DJ Burns, man. I just feel like if he can hit that mid-range, Edie's got to come out. And then they're gonna be at the back door and go to the basket all day long. So it's really the ability. It's really on Burns. This game is gonna be on DJ Burns. I know the other DJ's got to have a solid game, but he's gonna have to play off of him. Now I think the one thing I'm underestimating is DJ Burns' passing ability.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So this may be the game where he become more facilitator. And if he can get that ball out and get to the right players. And since they got a chance, man, we'll never see. They got guys really playing into their roles. So we may see. Like I said, it's gonna be Bama against NC State championship Monday night, baby.
Oh, that'd be the worst ratings ever. I'd be sleeping anyway. That game don't come out till like 9 o'clock, man. 9:30.
Oh man, I think we.
Man, I'm gonna be asleep Monday, man.
I think we all will be asleep.
I'm gonna catch the highlights.
Then we all will be asleep.
No matter who play.
All right, man. So let's dive into. Let's go to the next topic here. Let's get to our last. Our final few topics, man. Let's talk about Stephon Diggs trade. When that news came out, man, that was an impressive trade that the Houston Texas decided to go with. I mean, I was not expecting that. So let's talk about it real quick, man. Like, Ray, start us off. Like, what was your thoughts when that trade went through? The value that the Texans got the value that the Bills got for Stephon, and are the Texans the best team in the AFC because of this move?
I'm not shocked by it because, I mean, we heard chatter about it before last season. And, you know, Stephon Diggs' production has went 1,000-fold once he got to Buffalo. He showed that he was one of the elite receivers in the league. I always thought he was one of the best route runners in the league. But when you having these type of explosions on the sideline at the star quarterback, your days are numbered. And when you got one of the best receiver drafts in a while, I think it made absolute sense to make it happen right now. We haven't had this type of talent come in the draft, probably maybe the Justin Jefferson draft. But I'm not surprised. And like I said, you can't be blowing up at the star quarterback constantly in playoff games. And we saw they kind of phased him out a little bit from a production standpoint last season towards the end. And in the playoff, Josh Allen wasn't forcing him the ball. So the writing was kind of on the wall. But I love the move for the Texans. I think it makes them one of the best teams in the AFC. They definitely got on the low, probably one of the better receiving cores in the league. Tank Dell had an amazing rookie year. Nico Collins showed he can be a number one receiver. And you throw Diggs in the mix, if he can just, you know, keep his cool. But I think he will respect the head coach of D'Amico Ryans. I think D'Amico can kind of help him and put him in check, former player. I think he can command that type of respect. But the value, I mean, Buffalo got what, a second round pick, I want to say. And they gave up a fifth and a sixth. Now, Buffalo, this is a deep draft from receiver, so you're going to get you somebody. And it showed that they really wanted to get rid of him. They eating $31.1 million in cap space. So, yeah, the writing was on the wall the last 2 years, so I'm definitely not shocked by it. And, you know, shout out to Houston, man. They made some big moves this offseason, getting Joe Mixon. So, yeah, they loaded, bro, on paper.
Yeah, like I figured, like you said, it was like a marriage that both people said, you know, it's time to separate, go our separate ways. It was toxic. It was a toxic relationship. Like, it was hard to watch sometimes. You seeing your star player go at your star receiver going at your quarterback, the social media posts, the brother posting, you need to get up out of there. It was just getting messy. And Buffalo probably think they got a chance to get a good receiver. You know, you always gonna have receivers want to come play with a good quarterback, no matter what. You know, somebody gonna want the opportunity to come play. So it's a good look for Houston. You know, coming from last year, the run they made were not even great receivers. Now they got actually a good receiving core that's gonna make their ball club better. You know, if CJ keep taking the scribe, he don't have no rookie hangover. If he continue to be great like I think he will, definitely. Now that you're putting veteran players around him that can make plays for him, that where some nights he ain't got to be the Superman to save it. You know, the defense good, young. So, like the way they heading. And for Buffalo, man, like, I think they'll get another receiver that want to be there. You want to have people that want to be there. And Diggs didn't want to be there no more. So, and like Ray said, when Joe Brady started calling the offense, it just wasn't. Let's force the ball to Diggs anyway, where Josh Allen creating. And most of his turnovers are coming a lot for forcing throws, trying to make Diggs happy. So now that pressure goes away from him. Well, he ain't feel like, man, I got to get this dude 10, 12 touches a night. Yeah. I can just play football and spread it around. So it's a good look for both parties. So.
And the writing was on the wall. First of all, you lose to Kansas City. Then you come back and lose again in the playoffs. And then you had a perfect position at home, and you lose again to Kansas City. You lost to Cincinnati. So it ain't just so much Diggs. Their window opportunity was closing. And it really closed this year because you had a home game against Kansas City where you were the favorite, and you have a guy come on the road with boo-boo receivers and beat you at your own house. You see what I'm saying? So people not looking at that part of and I get it, but you not this man went from a 1,000-yard receiver to barely even getting 4 and 5 yard catches. You know what I mean? 4 catches a game. You see what I'm saying? And before Stephon got there, nobody wasn't talking about Josh Allen. They said he was okay, but when Stephon Diggs got there, his play went to another level. So now, okay, yes, it is a deep draft. Can Josh Allen be that quarterback like my man Mahomes and play with new receivers and get them to that next level? Because guess what? They stuck in that contract with the defensive end, so they still hurting with that money. So, I mean, at the end of the day, yes, it's a good move for both parties to free up some money, but then you're eating that contract. Now, I like what the Texans did. He's going to be a free agent next year, after this year, because they voided that money, his back half of his contract. So that was a smart move by the Texans. So now, the Texans is all in, because they feel like their defense is good enough. They got a couple of injuries that when they walked into the playoffs, they got a couple of injuries, you know, and they got, you know, beat down. But I think this year, health is going to be if they can stay healthy, they can make a run. Now, you still got to see that man out in Kansas City. But I still think, you know, for both parties, it's a good situation. Diggs is around some other guys. Like you say, D'Amico Ryan, they're going to put him in great positions. Probably still be the number one. He probably still going to be the number one. But he has other receivers that they can go to and not just be him. And if he's a team player, the Texans can make some noise. But, I mean, the window opportunity for them just closed. That's just the bottom line. They knew they weren't going to go nowhere. Other teams around them are getting better. The Jets are getting better, depending on health. Miami got some things. They getting better, you know, and that's just what it is. So, I mean, for all parties, a good situation. I just think Diggs and it just ran out of time. The time was up.
Yeah, I don't even have to add any more. I think all you guys have said it the most. It's at that end point where, you know, I mean, the conflict they were having between head coach, quarterback, receiver, it just wasn't there anymore. And I think they want to go a different direction in a way. They got rid of Gabe. They moved on from Gabe Davis. So it's an opportunity now to kind of revamp the receiving core, go a little younger, less expensive. I think having to carry that contract for Josh Allen was a lot. They got rid of, I think it was Ladarius White.
Leonard Floyd.
Another player. So I think at this point you know the writing's on the wall. And then for Houston, man, listen, this puts a lot of emphasis on, you know, CJ taking that next step. He now, you know, going to his second year, he's still in that rookie deal. So that helps. The cost factor helps. You know, you can still strengthen your defense. You got a lead receiver. You're gonna have to eventually re-sign Nico Collins, so you know that's gonna come down the pipeline. So you got a lot of different things, and then you still with that having him there, you can now let Tank You can let Tank kind of like get through the season. Make sure he just comes in healthy. He doesn't have to focus on being another lead receiver, and he could come in healthy and keep developing as he continues to go through his second and third season. So, man, listen, this should be a lot of enthusiasm as far as within the city of Houston and Texas, because they probably the best city. They've got to be the best team in Texas at this point. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be a lot of if I'm in Texas, I'm in Houston. You're excited. You want to be a part of this. You want to see what this team can do with this lineup with these players. And man, the future's bright there. So, you know. Good for both organizations. I think Buffalo needed to change, and yet at the same time, great for Houston because now you know they kind of get to that next level, and it totally leaves the whole the Sean situation behind you, and now you can kind of continue moving forward in your in the career. And good job for the GM. I think that GM had been criticized a lot over the last few years, but clearly that Deshaun trade gave them a lot of capital. Because I think that trade allowed them to trade with the Cardinals because they had a lot of pieces left from that trade, and it allowed them to go pick up and get the linebacker from Willie Anderson Jr. So that helped, man. So having those parts put a lot of things in place for this team, and now they have the opportunity to go and try to compete for at least an AFC championship. So shout out to Houston for that.
Yeah, they should find a way to sanction and play them every other year. I love going to Houston to a game.
Yeah, Houston is a.
We should play them every other year.
It's a different vibe. Houston is a different
H-Town
vibe. Like different. That thing is something else. Mm-hmm. That thing is something else. We'll leave it there. Mm-hmm. All right, man. So let's talk about Bronny, bro. Well, last topic for the day. Bronny has got his options going. He wants to. He's gonna. He's going to enter the NBA draft process. He's also going to enter the transfer portal, or he has the option to stay at USC because they just got a new coach. They just brought in the coach from Arkansas. So, Keith, start us off here. When you heard that Bronny thoughts are that he's wanting to enter the NBA draft, what were you thinking, and where you think the best decision should be for Bronny and for the James family?
I was shocked he declared, but with the best decision for him. And I thought about it. Maybe they just trying to engage because he's not losing eligibility. I guess they're trying to engage where he's at, you know, even by him declaring. If somebody come back and like, nah, he ain't a first-round pick, he can go back to college and say, oh, this the reason why he's not – this is what you need to work on, because he's still in the transfer pool, and I just feel like me personally, I wouldn't even, you know, if you can get a man, you can get a man. I ain't mad at you, but I would have just told him, man, let's just focus on what our next chapter. Okay, where we gonna go to school at? You know what I'm saying? Play a full year. You know, you had the heart attack early on in the season, you know, you came late. They probably had what's going on. Let's just get a, you know, things happen. I know my goal is to play with you before I leave, but right now, at the end of the day, it's about you. How can we develop you to be the best player you are, where you ain't coming to the league? And nobody's saying, man, he only in the league because his dad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want to be given this. You want to earn this. That way nobody can ever say nothing if you earn it. So, but me personally, I think they just doing it to see, you know, where he's at, if there's even interest in him. If not, what are the scouts saying you need to work on, why you're not? And then they go from there. You know, it's always a plan with LeBron and this team. So, but definitely, I think the kid need to stay in college and just develop. It might not take 2 years. It might take 3 years. It might take 4 years. I love what Carmelo Anthony said. Like, sometimes you can't work You can't rush the process. He ain't telling his son, no, we won't be a 1 year done. No, we gonna develop you. We gonna get you right, because when you get on that stage, man, it's grown men over there. Everybody was all American. The dude on the end of the bench ain't coming out of his warm up suit. He was Mr. Basketball in his high school or college. You know what I'm saying? It's different. So you know, same thing happened to D Wade, son. You know what I'm saying? It's different. You gotta just say let's go the route through college. I might not be a one and done player, and you know, some people develop over time. Some people one and done. Some people might take 2-3 years to click. But you know what I'm saying? So I think they just need to sit down, and I think this more just trying to evaluate and see where he's at, what the lead is saying, what's his strengths, what he need to work on. But you really didn't play a season of basketball, bro. You really wasn't. I think he averaged like 4 points something a game. Probably was playing, 10 minutes? If that, you better was even getting on at USC.
Man, you knew it. You know, you know how many points he scored again. You text us and said, start laughing. So don't even try to, don't even try to, it's like, don't try to act like you, like, what was it? Point? You knew what it was because you sent it to us and you were laughing. So, man, he ended the draft 4.8. We know, like, don't try to act exactly. Like, you forgot that you sent that to
exactly.
Me. And it was yesterday at that. So you exactly. Got out of nowhere. You don't remember anymore. Man, come on, man.
So, yeah, my take is, bro, the kids should stay in college, man.
Yeah, I mean, I like the decision to at least test the waters. The NBA now gives you that opportunity to get the evaluation without losing eligibility. And, you know, get the information, make the right decision. I think he's going to come back. Now, what school he's going to go to, that'll be the decision. LeBron's longtime friend is over at Duquesne now, taking over Drew Joyce. So we'll see, man. But I think, you know, it's good for him to at least get the evaluation. And the one thing we've seen over with Brownie over the years, he's athletic. He's probably no more than 6'2", 6'3". He has the athletic ability. And if he could play defense, bro, somebody will always find a spot for you in the NBA. But, yeah, it's good to get the evaluation. But I think he's going to come back for another year.
Man, you and Keon be around the dang bush, bro. Man, listen, the boy needs to stay in school.
I said you that, Donovan.
No, I'm great, but you were going around it and trying to make the landing easy. Bro, listen.
Saying the reason they put him in the draft just to get the evaluation. That's
well,
what
we know what the evaluation is. The boy don't need to go. We ain't got to graduate nothing. What we going to graduate? He didn't play. You was half sick, bro. You sat out a whole year. One. Half of a year. You sat out a half a year with a serious situation. What is me to evaluate? Because, I mean, get it. He's a good defensive player. He had a couple of good money, maybe one or two good games. But at the end of the day, this kid is not ready. He's just not ready. And I get it. LeBron want to play with his son, all this and that. I get that, too. But like you said, what Carmelo said, why rush him? Why rush him to the league? You know what I'm saying? To satisfy what you want to do in life? Come on, bro. Let that kid develop. He needs to develop, and he probably will be as good. He probably won't be like him, but he'll be a good NBA player. But people so want to rush these kids into the NBA, and then when they get there and don't develop and don't be who we think they should be, then we call them a bum. And I just think that's where LeBron needs to realize, man, let your son take the process, bro. Let him take the process. If you don't play with him, you don't play with him. If he makes it to the league and get on one of the teams, tell the team to sign you to a 10-day contract after you retire. You know what I'm saying? But let this kid take the process and don't put him in a situation where if he doesn't make it or he doesn't perform to the level that you feel like he can perform or other people feel like he can perform, it won't be a lot of backlash on that. Man, get this kid a chance. Let him work through it, bro.
I mean, man, this is one of those things that you hate to talk about because he's an 18, 19-year-old kid. I don't know who's giving him information. I would think that his father would be giving him all the information that he needs, which should help. But, I mean, we don't know what his potential is because we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it because he hasn't really played. He was on a team where they were really young. They weren't really good. The coach left immediately after the season's over to take a job at SMU was telling me that the environment at USC would suck because why would you go from Los Angeles to Dallas? It's beyond me.
Unless they were going to fire him and told him, we don't want to fire you, but I'm just getting your heads up.
Well, they were going to fire him. Then why did – I mean, he's going to leave anyway. He left.
I'm saying he probably left because they told him, look, we want to go in a new direction. I'm just saying maybe that happened.
I mean, why don't you just fire him? I mean, why do you need to tell him? He left. Like, I mean, like, let's say you were going to fire him. He left anyway. So, he already knew in his mind he was gone. So I'm just confused, man. Like, I think the kid needs to go somewhere where, one, I didn't really – when he came out, I didn't think he was – I don't think his from what I had seen, the way he had I don't say the word as group, but where he had when he finally reached his potential in high school was like his senior year. So I thought he should have went to a smaller university anyway, not a major big market university like Los Angeles. I thought he could have went somewhere a little bit smaller that would have gave him the opportunity to have the ball in his hands, play a little bit more. I thought the guy that came there, Isaiah, I think is
the boy from Georgia.
Get the kid from Isaiah Collar.
Yeah, he's from Georgia.
He was the number one recruit coming out, if I remember. And I thought that both of them were the same type of players. So I didn't see where he was going to be able to play over him if that's the same type of player they had. So I just, my expectations that I didn't think he was going to be able to utilize his talent the way he wants to in that environment. I thought he could have, should have went to a smaller university that's going to allow him to get the ball in his hands. And he will be able to develop his talent, and I think that's what he needed. And going to a private university, Sierra, Canyon. Whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, Sierra Canyon.
Sierra Canyon. And I know they produce a lot of talent, but I'm just not very much aware of the players that played. I think the last one is the one that got the fine mom. What's the dude's name? Bailey. The one that went to UCLA?
Bailey.
He in the lead now.
The where? Because he don't play.
Yeah, he in the league.
He don't play. I think he's the Clippers, isn't he?
Yeah, he on some team. But yeah, he in the league now.
Yeah. But he don't play. I think he was in the G League at one point, too.
Might be. Probably bouncing back and forth.
He's bouncing back and forth. So I don't really know what they produce like that. So I just thought he could have just went somewhere else, kind of got some foundation. You know what I mean? And then get away from his parents.
Yeah.
I thought getting away from his dad, being at the games, always on the front court. Man, that could be a little much.
It can be.
Right. I think that can be a little much.
And the expectation huge, man. The field I'm
man, it's huge. I just not thought he could have went somewhere. I think he should have went somewhere where his dad ain't around. Maybe could have went to a whole different city. Right. And build his own legacy. Yeah. You know what I mean? And be with an NBA style coach. I would love to see him at Georgia Tech with Damon
Stoudemire.
Or, man, come up here to Georgetown. So like get you a whole different experience that you don't, you're not, that's just not cultivated with your father sitting right there. Yeah. So yeah, I just didn't like the look for him. And hopefully if he does go to college, he goes somewhere that's not that, you know, he can get away, he can just build his own legacy and not worry about his parents being in the front row every time. Man, go get a suite. In a way, you rich. like, I don't know what parent is rich that keep. Where the parents be on the front row? The rich parents get a suite. The rich parents get a suite anyway. So, yeah, man. I just, you know, in the NBA thing, I don't even know what that's about. I mean, I can honestly, I don't. I mean, if you don't want nobody to think that you're going in, you want people to think that you're going on your own merit. You shouldn't go to the pros right now. Because mm-hmm. everybody would think that you're going because
of your dad. Yeah, if you get drafted, bro.
Yeah, everybody thinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody thinks it's because of your dad. Like, yeah. Man, that's, I mean,
you don't want that. As a kid, I wouldn't even want that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, if you want to create your own legacy, you damn sure don't want to go into the league and then get drafted because people can be like, man, that man averaged 4.8 a game and did not start.
Like, sound like you know his average.
Well, you texted to us.
You texted to us. So, you texted us everything.
Like, you didn't text us what his average was. But yeah.
Yeah, when I saw the average, I was like 4.8. Sounded like a top 5 pick to me.
Lottery.
Lottery pick.
Like, yeah, bro. Yeah, man. You averaging 4.8 a game. Come on, man. That's not even a second round pick. That's a free agent.
Man, that ain't even that. Most agents be like, I ain't even taking you, bro. I'll call up an agent averaging 4.8 saying, bro, I want to enter myself in the draft. They're going to say, what? Man, look. Bro,
no. And look, hey, Jane, Denny texted at 2:54.
Bro.
2:54. Early in the day. Early on Friday. 2:54.
I was all Friday, bro.
And you had the night. And look, you did it like the newspaper. You had the writing, everything clear. Like, yeah, come on.
I was shocked. Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, he'll laugh. He had a good laugh on that. He was sitting in his house laughing about that one.
Oh, yo, that's sad, bro. Though.
Let's get Giannis Brothers vibe.
Even like Thaddeus, at least he played professional overseas. Like, that's just tough, man.
Giannis Brothers vibes, yo. I'll tell you what, my Lakers better not be the idiots.
Oh man.
Sell tickets. Ooh.
Hell no, it won't.
Oh man.
We sell tickets in LA anyway. We ain't got a problem selling tickets in LA. they better not get caught up in that bull.
But for real, they don't like with him, you can't waste a draft pick, bro. You just can't. Like I get it, but you can't just waste a draft pick on a kid. Like you said, average 4.8. Hell yeah, we probably gonna average 4 points, make one 3-point free throw.
That's the standard, bro. That's a lot of people in the league. It's gonna be a lot of people in the league.
Yeah.
If that's the standard.
Well, whatever LeBron say, I ain't re-signing that contract unless you bring my
man,
son.
Bye. We ain't got a chip since COVID. That's been 5 years ago. Bye. Is that what it take? Bye. We ain't got a chip since COVID.
Yeah.
At least Giannis won one, 3 years ago? 2 years, whatever.
But he could be on the sideline like Giannis' brother, jump around. They put him in the game.
That wasting a talent spot. And for real, you know, and he's a good player, but he wasn't Mr. Basketball in high school. You know what I'm saying? You wasn't Gatorade, this and that, you know what I'm saying, in high school. Not saying he can't get to that level. I'm just saying when you went to USC, it wasn't like you was coming out at Mr. California Basketball.
True. So, yeah, hey, Key, on a different note, Don got missed Gatorade high school basketball, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't coming out like that. You know what I mean?
It's gonna be
interesting, man. Let me give y'all a quick little announcement, right quick. Since we had a discussion one time that it ain't about Caitlin Clark, that's about this. It's about everybody. Last night, gang had 14.2 million viewers, man. That's what they average on ESPN.
Yeah.
The most watched game in women's college basketball history. Guess who's a part of it again?
Caitlin Clark is the biggest draw right now, but then you got a storyline thing with UConn. Shit, I think the championship game gonna do more than that.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna do 20.
At the end of the day, it's still
she the draw. That's what I say. That's part of her impact. Now you're gonna have, like you said, like it was last year. Now it's more people invested into watching college basketball because of last year. Now you're going to have, hate to say it, it's going to be a divided country tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. White America.
Yeah, that's how it was at LSU and her last year. You're going to have a divided country. So they did 12 million with the LSU. Did 14 last night.
It's going to be 20 tomorrow.
Yeah. It's going to be
It's going to be 20 game. At least.
Yes.
It's going to be 20.
Yes.
It's gonna be crazy, bro. She puts a lot of butts in the seats when it comes to this basketball game, man. And she got the whole Middle America. That's what you don't forget. She got the whole Middle America with her. You know
that's what I'm saying?
We forget about places like Nebraska.
The Aces moved their game from their arena to the T-Mobile Arena. So when 8,000.
So when
they know what's happening.
Yeah, nah,
when she goes pro, that's when that's gonna happen.
Yep. And if I'm the Sparks, I draft Angel with that second pick.
Because they're in the same division, right?
No, I don't know if they are now. I'm just saying that's going to sell seats. People
don't come. No, I don't know. I think she's going to be with the Indiana. She's going to get drafted by Indiana Fever.
I'm saying because the Sparks got two picks. Number two pick, you get one, but I think they got a 2 and a 5 or a 2 and a 4. One of them picks, I'm getting Angel. Because now you want WNBA got to get up where – people want to sit there and watch WNBA like we doing for college basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Angel personality in LA will be huge.
It's perfect for her.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, I think this is we're on an incline when it comes to women's basketball overall, and hopefully these two ladies, especially Angel and Caitlin, when they're coming to the league, hopefully they can be like a magic.
Boost the lead. Because it's going to follow them. They're going to be compared to each other to their career. They're going to be compared.
And they boost the league up. They can boost the league up and build more dollars and put the league in a billion-dollar phase so that some of these ladies can pay more as the salaries goes up. And then by the time they get there, hopefully they get around there where Juju made her name. Right. And when Juju comes in there, she's like the MJ coming in.
And Flo Wally, and Flo Wally, all them coming that freshman class.
Flo Wally, all them coming behind
and it. And the thing about college basketball, it's so many good freshmen, bro. It's so many.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many.
Especially the girl but, I know the
if
game.
I'm the WNBA, y'all should call me. Y'all should piggyback coming in next year. Have like that Angel Reese and Caitlin commercial. Bird and Magic. That's what I'm coming in next year with. We need to Sprite or whoever.
So they're going to be Nikes, more than likely.
We need to do a but Angel, it can't be Nike because Angel with Reebok.
Is she?
Yes, she signed with Reebok.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's that Shaq deal. Gotcha. Then she got like about 20 mil or something for Reebok. But yeah, if I'm them, like McDonald's or somebody, whatever, I'm going that route.
It's gonna be a hot ticket.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. So that's our last topic for the day. Let's get our final thoughts when we get up out of here. Ray, start us off. What's your final thoughts, man?
Man, packed show, man. You know, it's good that all four of us be back in it. Man, you know, we'll be doing a live podcast at the St. James on Friday. Looking forward to it, man, to continue to expand the brand. And, you know, a good one.
Man, down goes Fraser. You know, your man, Street Clothes, and glad he didn't got hurt. But on a different note, man, great Ooh. Show. Ooh. Street Clothes. Anthony Ooh. Davis, Street Clothes. Street Clothes. Anthony Davis. Like he hurt his ankle. Just now he up. He walking around. He walking back.
He been playing ball this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, great show. Glad to be back on it, back in the saddle with the boys. Now I got to go head out to this party with my son, and you know, hopefully he performs well next week at the Gridiron Game. You know, he playing, so let's keep this thing moving.
Quick question: how excited are you that you know that your son's gonna be playing in this All-Star tournament, man?
You know what, man? It's crazy to see the growth from when he was little. He played basketball, whatever. We always played flag, never played tackle. And just to see the growth and how he's like starting to learn the game better and willing to go work out and want to work out and want to put the work in is a beautiful thing for me. You know what I'm saying? To just, you know, he understands, you know, he does well in school, and that's the biggest part. He does well at school. You know, he just got invited to the junior scholar, you know, thing. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing, man, to see your kids go from one end to the next. And hopefully we can just keep him in the same situation for our sports and education and keep it moving.
Right on. Good. Can you say something, man?
Mm-mm, I ain't say nothing.
Oh, okay. Are you saying something? Or?
Right. Well, about what? Wrapping up the show, my bad. good. Thanks to our guest who came on, man. I love what he doing with the youth. What's my man name?
Radcliffe Thomas.
Yep.
Who you played for?
Coach.
He played for the Panthers, Indianapolis.
Okay.
He did, I think, a little bit of time with Baltimore.
Okay. And so I love what he's doing, which he don't have to do to give back and pour into the youth, the knowledge he had. So that's always great to see when people come back and give back to his community. You know, like he say, he born and raised here. You know what I'm saying? The influence and the contacts he have here, he's sharing the knowledge and you know, because he done been there, done that at the highest level. So thanks for you being on the show, getting us the opportunity, like we said again, this weekend, next weekend. And so, you know, this is another great show. You know, just continue growing the platform.
Yeah, man. Everybody said it, man. Look out for us next week. We'll be definitely part of that event. We're super excited about it. All day Friday, all weekend, we'll be a part of the podcast row. So check us out there. We'll push this out pretty early so that you guys can hear what we got going on and hear that interview. So, but yeah, man, outside of that, bro, I don't have nothing else. Let's get out of here. What we talking about? What we talking about? I can do this all day.